Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray, to engage in this loving conversation with you, to listen to you. And we do our prayer today about our calling to holiness, our calling to love you, because you loved us first. You said to the apostles in the Last Supper, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." You lay down your life for us, and we weren't your friends. And you weren't man laying down your life. You were God laying down your life for your enemies, so to speak, for mankind estranged from you by original sin. You laid down your life for us. That is love. And then you called us your friends. You called me your friend. No longer, you said, do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You've called everyone your friend. Not only your creature, not only your subject, because we are subject to you. You are God, who are Lord, and you are the Creator, and we are the creatures. But you have come down to our level, and you have called us your friends. It's an overwhelming thought that you would want to be our friend. And everyone wants friends, and you are the best friend. You are always there for us. You are always listening to us when nobody else will listen to us. You love us when nobody else will love us. And you take us to heaven with you, and you have gone ahead to prepare a place in the Father's house. No one else could be a friend like you are. And then you went on to say, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." You chose every single human being. You chose me. I didn't choose you. And we tend to think at times, yes, I chose you. I decided to remain a practicing Catholic. I decided to become a Catholic when I was already an adult. And you can say, no, I chose you. From all eternity, I chose you. And the task I have appointed you is that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. From all eternity, you knew every single human being. And in the fullness of time for us, you created us through the love of our parents. And St. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." Before the foundation of the world, he chose us. And Lord, that is what you are telling us. I chose you, and for that task, that you should be holy and blameless before me. Holy, in love with you. It doesn't mean sinless. We all sin. but at least that we be sorry and we start over. Saint Jose Maria once said that the saint is not the one who never fell, but the one who always got up again. Or we could say a saint is a sinner who struggles. We are all sinners, but struggling to love you more. And Jeremiah echoes those thoughts in his prophecy. He says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Before we ever came into being, Lord, you knew us, you consecrated us, and now you tell Jeremiah for what you have consecrated him. I appointed you a prophet to the nations, to go out and spread the word, the love, the truth of God, to be a prophet. Then I said," Jeremiah goes on, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Lord, you send us out too, and you are with us, and you will give us what to say when the time comes. To go out, as you tell the apostles, and bear fruit, fruit which will abide. And we are inclined to ask, but Lord, what is that fruit that abides? The answer is twofold. First of all, the fruit of our own love for you, the treasure we store up in heaven, the good deeds that we do, the holiness in a word, that we love you with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength. This is that first fruit. This abides. Everything else we do on earth is lost when we die. We leave behind perhaps some money. We leave behind a reputation. But what we take with us is the good deeds, the treasure stored up in heaven, our love for you, which comes to fulfillment in heaven. That is true fruit that abides. And secondly, the fruit of the help that we give to others to come to know you and love you. And that abides too when they go to heaven. And when we look at the need for our assistance to them today, we realize it is very great. So few people really know you and love you. So few people live in the light of faith as we do. They live in the darkness of sin and often of unbelief. So many lost sheep, people that once did know you and loved you, that once went to church and now no longer do. And some say they don't even believe in you. They don't believe in life after death. Who is going to find them? Who is going to bring them back? But somebody that does know you and love you. Someone that has the faith. Someone that is truly struggling to be a saint. And that has to be each one of us. And moreover, when we find you and love you, we find happiness. It has to be that way. Because how do we find happiness? We find happiness when we find a good, whatever that good may be, a new car, a new kitchen, a good meal, a good film, a holiday away. But all these come to an end. All of these are finite goods that cannot satisfy fully the human heart, which is spiritual. And so St. Augustine wrote in his Confessions, "Lord, you made us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Then it is truly satisfied. And when it rests in you, who are the infinite good, we find true happiness. Then the heart truly rests. And so Saint Jose Maria once said, "Do you want to be happy? Be holy. More happy, more holy. Extremely happy, extremely holy. The more we love you, the more we live in your presence, the more we are one with you, and you truly fill our heart, and we are the happiest we could be." The saints, after all, are the happiest people on earth. And Lord, you said that to the apostles too. "All of this I have told you, so that my joy may be in you, and the measure of your joy may be fulfilled." You want us to be happy, and we will be happy to the extent that we are close to you, that we love you. And so you have loved everyone, and you call everyone to love you in return. And this is the universal call to love, to holiness. You love all. You died for all. You want all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All. And we might say, "But how about those who don't believe in you? You love them too. You have died for them. You have a place in heaven for them. How about those sinners that turn their back on you, commit grievous sins, and they're not sorry? You love them too. You died for them. You have a place in heaven for them." And how many of these people will one day be those great converts that are so sorry for the way they lived for perhaps a great part of their life, but now they have found the truth, now they have found meaning, now they have found God, and they will find God often through us, someone that does know you. And so all are called to love you because you love all first. The Second Vatican Council says, in the Dogmatic Constitution on the Church, Lumen Gentium, "It is therefore quite clear that all Christians in any state or walk of life are called to the fullness of Christian life and to the perfection of love. And by this holiness, a more human manner of life is fostered also in earthly society. All are called in any state or walk of life, called to the fullness of Christian life, to holiness, to the perfection of love. And by this holiness, a more human manner of life is fostered also in earthly society. Through the influence that the saints have, human life becomes more human, more enjoyable, more humane. This is what we are about, to help others find you. All are called, and those others too, those sinners, those non-believers, they too are called to love you. And when they finally discover you, they will thank us for having invited them. And this is for everyone. Pope John Paul II, in his apostolic letter, Novo Millennium in Aeunte, which ushered in the third millennium, wrote, "As the Council itself explained, this ideal of perfection must not be misunderstood as if it involves some kind of extraordinary existence possible only for a few uncommon heroes of holiness. The ways of holiness are many, according to the vocation of each individual. I thank the Lord that in these years He has enabled me to beatify and canonize a large number of Christians, and among them many lay people, who attained holiness in the most ordinary circumstances of life. The time has come to repropose wholeheartedly to everyone this high standard of ordinary Christian living. The whole life of the Christian community and of Christian families must lead in this direction, the direction of holiness, this high standard, but of ordinary Christian living, of love, We can all live that love no matter what our state, our situation in life. And Lord, help us to seek you, to find you, to love you. And help us to help others to do that too. Pope Francis invites all to this encounter. In his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel, he writes, I invite all Christians everywhere at this very moment to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ, or at least an openness to letting him encounter them. I ask all of you to do this unfailingly each day. No one should think that this invitation is not meant for him or her, since no one is excluded from the joy brought by the Lord. The Lord does not disappoint those who take this risk. Whenever we take a step towards Jesus, we come to realize that he is already there, waiting for us with open arms. Now is the time to say to Jesus, Lord, I have let myself be deceived. In a thousand ways I have shunned your love. Yet here I am once more to renew my covenant with you. I need you. Save me once again, Lord. Take me once more into your redeeming embrace. Lord, especially if we have been distant from you, to come back into your redeeming embrace. We need you. And yes, we may have shunned your love. We may have been deceived by the deceitfulness of sin, which masquerades as something pleasant, something pleasurable, and leaves us only with that empty feeling. Because it is a lie. We want you. And yes, this life of holiness will make demands on us. But this is the only way to find happiness. You loved everyone on earth. You love us now. You love children, adults, the sick, the healthy, the rich, the poor. You love Lazarus, your friend. You cried for him when he died. And the people said, see how much he loved him. And Lord, you love each one of us like that. And St. Josemaria writes that in the way in the chapter on the love of God. Jesus is your friend, the friend, with a human heart like yours, with loving eyes that wept for Lazarus. And he loves you as much as he loved Lazarus. Lord, what a thought. You love me as much as you loved Lazarus, and I offend you, but you still love me. You forgive me as often as I come back to you repentant. But you can ask me, as you asked Simon Peter after your resurrection, Simon, son of John, do you love me? You can ask me that, calling me by my first name. Do you love me? And Lord, perhaps we would hem and haw and say, well, yes, Lord, I do love you, realizing that we are trying. But sometimes that effort is so small. And so we say with St. Josemaria in the way too, my God, I love you, but, oh, teach me to love. Teach me to love you more. And Pope Benedict echoes these words, there is nothing more beautiful than to be surprised by the gospel, by the encounter with Christ. There is nothing more beautiful than to know him and to speak to others of our friendship with him. And this is our life. It's beautiful. Knowing you, loving you, speaking to others of our friendship with you. And Lord, how are we going to grow in love? How are we going to be ones who can bear fruit that abides? You explained it to the apostles immediately before you called them friends and told them that you had chosen them to go out and bear fruit, using the analogy of the vine and the branches. You said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And Lord, when we abide in you, we are united with you. You live in us. We live in you. And we live, as St. Paul says to the Galatians in the second chapter, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Crucified with Christ through our penance, and then it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You live in us, we live in you. How will we do this? To be united to you, and we are united to you in four ways. First, through prayer. That loving conversation with you. We want to be your friend. We want to grow in friendship. How do human beings grow in friendship with one another? They spend time together talking, listening. And you are the best friend. And again, we go to St. Jose Maria in the way, this time in the chapter on prayer. And he writes, you seek the company of friends who with their conversation and affection, with their friendship, make the exile of this world more bearable for you. There's nothing wrong with that, although friends sometimes let you down. But how is it you don't frequent daily with greater intensity the company, the conversation of the great friend who never lets you down? To seek your company in prayer, in those various forms of prayer, meditation, which we are doing now, talking with you in our own words and listening to you, that we set aside some time each day to do that. Vocal prayers, the Our Father, which you taught us, the Hail Mary, which is so grounded in Scripture, the Glory Be, the Act of Contrition, the Hail Holy Queen, the Memorare, the Angelus, and especially the Rosary, which Our Lady constantly recommends. And then aspirations, those little darts of love. Lord, I love you. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, thank you. Lord, that I may see. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Aspirations taken from the Scriptures. And then to get to know you through the Scriptures, to read every day a little bit of the New Testament. It's all about you, and then we get to know you and love you more. And then, secondly, we abide in the vine through our penance, through our mortification. And you say that, too, in that 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The gardener cuts back, prunes the branches of the rose bush, and then it comes out full of blossoms in the summer. And Lord, we need to prune ourselves, to cut back. Why do we need this? Because we fall in love with the world. We are so attached to material things, to money, to situations, to our car, to our kitchen, to our relaxation. And we need to live these things, yes, but with moderation, to cut back so that the heart, instead of being attached to the world and things here below, is rather attached to you. And then, like St. Paul, we are crucified with you, and then you live in us and we live in you. In you we live and move and have our being. Penance. The saints lived penance. They denied themselves. We need to do that too. And you invited us to do that. If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Deny himself. Deny ourselves little comforts, enjoyments. Yes, to enjoy them too, but not to a disordered degree. To hold back, then we can be more filled with love for you. And St. Jose Maria sums it up in his book, The Forge. You will have as much sanctity as you have mortification done out of love. The level of our penance, our self-denial, our mortification, is the level of our sanctity. Thirdly, we will abide in you through the sacraments. We received baptism. You filled us with your presence, the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity, the infused virtues, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, sanctifying grace. We were made children of God, heirs of heaven. And we keep that state of grace as long as we don't lose it through mortal sin. And if we lose it, we come back to you through the sacrament of penance. And we don't wait for mortal sin to go to that sacrament of mercy, that sacrament of joy. We go regularly. St. John Paul II said in an address to priests, hearing confessions in the Roman basilicas in 1981, and these are not his exact words, he said, "The confession of devotion, periodically renewed, has always accompanied the ascent to holiness in the Church." That those who go regularly to confession grow in holiness. Of course they do, because they get that sanctifying grace in addition to forgiveness of their sins. And they start over in their spiritual life with each confession. And then especially the sacrament of the Eucharist. And as you said in the synagogue of Capernaum, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him." We abide in you. You abide in us through that great sacrament of communion. It is the greatest union man can have with God here on earth, a foretaste of the union we will have in heaven. In all of these ways, we are truly branches united to you. And then finally, we are branches united to the vine when we do what you ask. And you said that, and we read your words. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, to do your will." And the words we read at the beginning, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." We can't say we love you if we are not trying to do your will always, from the first moment of the day to get out of bed, to start our prayer, to start that job that we have been putting off, to be pleasant to the people around us, to ring a friend and ask how they are, to give ourselves more generously to our family. All of these little inspirations that you come with throughout the day, to do your will. This is sanctity. And we ask Our Lady, Queen of all saints, Mary, you heard the word of God and kept it. You welcomed the word of God, that word who is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, into your life. You brought the word into the world. You brought Jesus to us. You transformed this world. You were the queen of all saints. You were close to God in prayer, in penance, in receiving the sacraments. You too received communion from the hands of the apostles. You were close to God in all of these ways. You were truly the branch most united to the vine, and you bore that fruit who is Jesus himself. As Elizabeth said, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Mary, help us to bear fruit, to bring Jesus into our life, to bring Jesus into the world, into the lives of others, to change this world for the better. Help us to be those saints that God wants us to be. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.